We are in the studio with Jim Woodward, who is running for Senate in Idaho Legislative District 1. He will be on the ballot on the May 21st, in the May 21st Republican primary. Thank you for speaking with us, Mr. Woodward.
Thank you for having me today. Appreciate it.
Let's start with an introduction for voters. Tell us a bit about your background, how long you've lived here, and how you wound up in North Idaho.
Well, I started in North Idaho for the most part, so I have been around here quite a while. I grew up in Sandpoint and Bonners Ferry, married to my high school acquaintance, at least, maybe not sweetheart, a date or two in high school, but we got married later on. So that's Brenda that many people know, both from the Lake Pondre High School. She's a teacher there. And then she's also part of the farmer's market, along with my father-in-law, who everyone knows as the corn man at the farmer's market. So a little bit of presence there at the Sandpoint Farmer's Market and Bonners Ferry. I grew up, like I said, here in Sandpoint. I really went to school in Bonners Ferry, graduated out of there, University of Idaho, a mechanical engineering degree, and then joined the Navy as partway through college. I got some training and education in how to operate a nuclear power plant, and I went out to sea on a ballistic missile submarine. So I served a sea tour in the Navy and then a shore duty tour after that in upstate New York. And we had our first child in upstate New York and decided it was time to come home and raise our family here, right where we knew was the best place in the world to do it. So we came back home in 2000, and we've been here ever since.
What do you do outside of elected office?
Yes. How do I actually make a living?
Yeah.
No, I have a construction company here, and we do a lot of excavation, some structures. If you look down in Sand Creek, you're walking on the boardwalk. I built that in 2009 and helped build the first part when I was working for someone else back in 2000. Mm-hmm. So that kind of marine construction and then other types of structures and any kind of excavation work. So that's our rocks and docks, we say.
Okay. Local groups you belong to that you'd like to mention?
Sure. So yeah. I do serve on the board of Northern Lights. I've been there for 10 years. I think we have a great program going there with that locally owned electric cooperative. We're self-governed. And you can, for the Northern Lights members out there, you probably remember or be able to notice that through all this inflation, we have not had to increase rates just by managing that in a fiscally conservative manner. I serve on the Sagal Fire Board. So I'm a fire district commissioner for Sagal Fire. Mm-hmm. And then participate in a few other things. And we do different projects around town. I always like to take on a volunteer project with a construction company just because they have the ability. So going back a ways, we tore down the old bleachers at War Memorial Field back when those new ones were constructed. I did that as a volunteer project. I actually did a similar thing up in Boundary County this year. We tore down the bleachers at the high school there. If you're in the Long Bridge swim or just driving along the Long Bridge and you see those piling that are the markers on the east side of the bridge there with the numbers on it, we put those piling in along with Jim Zuberbühler and the Long Bridge Swim Organization. So it's fun to do things around town and be part of the community.
And your history in elected office? Go ahead.
I first got interested back in around 2012 or 14 and started to watch the process more. Mm-hmm. Spent some time in Boise, had the opportunity to job shadow a little bit with some folks with an elected state senator. And so we just got more, all of us at different times in our life, you start to have a little more awareness, I think. And that was when I started to watch the process more and realize that I wanted to be involved because I believe I represent the community. So I've always been an active voter. I've been a registered Republican here all of my life, either in Boundary County or Bonner County. It just started to see that I thought we were headed in a path a little bit that I didn't like. So I wanted to make sure that I could provide my input into the process to try and maintain those traditional Idaho values that we've always had and to preserve this place that we all enjoy. And so that, those ideas apply to someone, whether they've been here 3 weeks or three generations. I say, if you have the Idaho values and we're all, then we're all working together to preserve what we have here.
When were you first elected to state state senate?
I was elected in 2018 to the Idaho State Senate. We had a three-way primary that year. That was Scott Hernan was also in that primary, so I did have a plurality there. I won over both the other two candidates combined. It was 46% for the other two combined and 48%. I think that the distinction between the 2018 race where I was successful and the 2022 race where I lost is the type of campaigning that went on. Mm. In 2018, all the three of us in that race presented who we were and presented who we are to the public and let the public decide. And if you look at the 2022 race, it was quite a contrast to that, where Scott Hernan didn't provide information about himself. He simply provided information and interpretations of my actions over the 4 years that I served. We've taken the time to try and straighten that out with folks, but there's more out there to be said right now. So hopefully we get a chance to touch on that.
Yeah. Well, I guess you've sort of answered this question already, but you are running, you're running for a seat you held before against an opponent you've faced twice before, I guess. Why, how did you decide to seek this seat again, and why are you running?
Well, I don't think he represents the community. I think he represents his own ideology, which is a very rigid one, and you see that in his actions. Actions do speak louder than words, and if you look at what I have done in the past, serving the community in different areas, serving the country as a naval officer, that stands in contrast to someone who has been here in the community as an abortion abolitionist in everyone's face with what everyone knows are quite graphic posters that he spent more than a decade here running around town at the middle school, the farmer's market, any place that he could present himself and cause a stir. That combined with the what's going on at the festival where he can't quite make the distinction that property rights and gun rights are both valued here in our country and in Idaho. And then to look too that he did inject himself into the West Bonner County School District in the selection of Brandon Durst, someone who is not qualified as a state superintendent, as a superintendent of public, superintendent to run the school district. And you can see how that tore that community apart. Luckily, the Priest River community has worked so hard to rebuild here and get past that. But because of his efforts, it cost that community a lot.
The legislature typically is in session from January through March or so, and this year concluded on April 10th. But if elected, you must represent your constituents year-round. And that raises the question, if elected, outside of the legislative session, how much time do you plan to devote to your office on, say, a weekly basis?
Well, my experience from the 4 years that I served in Idaho State Senate, it takes about close to half of the week. Now that's half of a 40-hour week, but I don't ever get away with a 40-hour week. I'm a small business owner. I have employees, and so we're out there doing what we need to do. I started this morning at 6 o'clock doing payroll. I've been to a couple job sites, and so we take care of that at the same time that we take care of making sure that that the community gets well represented. It's a balance, but I'm happy to do it.
General questions. What do you consider the biggest issues in the Senate race that you would like voters to consider?
I think in the Senate race, it is just the contrast between myself and my opponent, one who's part of the community and one who's trying to tear down the community and trying to force his will upon others. I'm asking to represent the people of Bonner and Boundary County and all of the people of Bonner and Boundary County, not just the ones I agree with.
The Idaho legislature concluded its 2024 session and adjourned last month. What kind of grade would you give the legislature overall for this session?
Well, I'm not sure that I want to venture into grading the legislature. There are a lot of great folks down there. It's a process with 105 people from all across the state. I know that there are a bunch of great people there. And we have that process, and we should go there and have those hard conversations. There will be disagreements. So what comes out of the legislature is the answer. But I think that stepping back from what happened at the legislature with the people who are there is the question, does a person, if I'm asking the audience, do you feel that the legislature represents you? If the answer to that is no, then that is the importance of the election cycle, of being out there and voting, both in May and in November. That if the decisions that are coming out of that policy setting body aren't what you desire, then make sure you and your friends and everyone you know are there participating to put the right people in that office.
Well, let's talk specifically about some of the bills that came out of this session. Governor Little signed House Bill 521, that sweeping legislation under which Idaho will spend an additional $1.5 billion over the next decade to help fund building, construction, and maintenance for schools around the state. Would you have supported or opposed House Bill 521?
In the end, I probably would have supported.
Mm-hmm.
All of these bills, you get to, it's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
So you weigh the consequences. You take a look at that bill and see what you like and what you don't. What I like is that we shifted our paradigm in Idaho, where traditionally operational funds for the schools are provided from the state, and not necessarily all of the operational funds, but operational funds from the state. And then the notion has always been an unwritten rule that the local communities will go out for a bond election and build facilities. The Constitution says simply that the legislature has a duty to establish and maintain a system of schools. And so I am happy to see the state start to step up and provide that money for facilities funding. I think it's very important. And part of it is to get away from these battles we have at the local level over property taxes and supplemental levies or bond elections, where it's such a challenge to raise that money locally, especially, and it's dependent upon the community. We're trying to provide the same opportunity for all Idaho students across the state, and yet with the system we have in place right now with the local elections, it really depends on the makeup of the community as to whether or not there's enough support to do some of those school pieces. So do I support it? Yes. Mm-hmm. But am I disappointed that, again, yet one more time, we've really challenged the limits of our one subject rule in legislation? The Idaho Constitution says that every piece of legislation shall be pertaining to one subject only. And when you read House Bill 521, you see a lot of different pieces moving through there at the same time. I think that's not the right path. It's what happens at the federal level. We want to stay away from that. There's a reason we have a single subject rule for legislation.
Sure. Further education note here, concealed weapons in schools. These couple of proposed bills, House Bill 415 would allow public school employees with concealed weapons permits to bring concealed firearms to school grounds. The House passed the bill, but it did not make it out of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Senate Bill 1418 was a second bill aimed at replacing the House bill and would have amended it to allow local entities to impose stricter firearm training requirements if they choose to, but also did not make it out. Would you have favored or opposed these bills, or further comment kind of on that issue of the concealed firearms on school grounds?
I think it's important to note that Idaho law currently allows concealed weapons to be carried on school grounds through a local decision-making process. See, there are school districts in the state of Idaho where there are teachers carrying concealed weapons, and that's in law now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a local decision made by a locally elected board. This bill that came forward this year really had some problems in it. I would not have supported it because it took away the local decision. It was a state mandate as to what every district in the state of Idaho must do. And it took away who would be advised and know that somebody is carrying. It also the training requirements were not adequate because a person needed a enhanced concealed carry permit to be able to carry in a school, which is a one-time, one-day class with no continuing training and no scenario-based training. The most egregious part of that legislation was the last paragraph, and it said that person shall have no civil or criminal liability. No civil or criminal liability if they choose to engage in a lethal scenario in a school. So that means you can shoot Johnny and Sarah in the front of the classroom with no civil or criminal liability. And talk to our police officers. No police officer has that kind of standing where they have no, they are responsible. Even our police officers are responsible for any bullet that they send downrange.
Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 1240 was about private militias. It would have eliminated Idaho's prohibition on private militias. It went to the Senate State Affairs Committee, but didn't make it out of committee. That elimination of the prohibition, would you have favored or opposed?
I'm a Navy guy. Mm-hmm. Military man. So we have a military. If people would like to join the military, they certainly can. That's the National Guard. That's the active military, the reserve military. There are plenty of options if people would like to be part of defending our nation and our area.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. A proposed House bill concerning the initiative process that would make initiatives more difficult for citizens to get on the ballot. It was House Bill 652. Would create a public review period of the signatures submitted for a petition, allow more time for voters to change their minds about signing a petition, and would require monthly updates on signature gathering. The House passed the bill but didn't progress out of the Senate State Affairs Committee. These bills kind of restricting the initiative process. How do you feel about that?
There are two ways to write law in the state of Idaho. Mm-hmm. One is through the legislature, and that's working with your legislator, whether a senator or representative, come forth with a bill and go through the legislative process, or the citizens' initiative. The citizens' initiative has been valuable to us in the past. The Fish and Game Commission is one of the big examples I think of. We have a Fish and Game Commission that helps to represent the people of Idaho because of the citizens' initiative process. I don't think the citizens' initiative process has been abused. We did tighten up some of the requirements around the citizens' initiative process when I was in the legislature. And so I think we're fine right where we are. I don't see an overwhelming mass of citizen initiatives causing us a problem here in the state of Idaho.
Well, but there is one. The Open Primaries Initiative is going to, it's not before the legislature itself, so you'll just be voting as a private citizen on that matter, but it would end Idaho's closed Republican primary so that all voters, regardless of party affiliation, could vote in the primary election. It looks like they've met their requirements, and we will know probably in July, but it's forecast to be on the ballot in November. It would also allow voters to rank candidates in order of preference. What's your position on the Open Primaries Initiative?
Well, I grew up here in Idaho with an open primary. We have only had a closed primary for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's causing us a little bit of a problem having that closed primary because we're excluding almost 30% of the voting population during the primary election. And we know the makeup of Idaho. Happy that it is as red as it is. But the primary election is the selection point or is the decision point. That's why we've got May Matters signs up all over town, mm-hmm. because the May election is where we're going to decide who's going to represent us in the legislature. So if the May election is the decision point, then we need to make sure that all of the people of Idaho can participate in that. And with 275,000 unaffiliated voters in the state of Idaho out of 1 million voters, we're excluding a lot of folks in the selection process. And so that, I think, is a real challenge that we've closed off the voting to people.
The harmful library materials bill was a big, this was at least the third year in a row that it was a major point of discussion in the legislature. House Bill 710 passed and was signed into law by the governor this year. It allows children or their parents to sue librarians for $250 plus other possible damages after they provide 60 days written notice to a library asking them to move a harmful book to an adults only section. Would you have voted for or against?
The library bill is an example of an out-of-state solution to an out-of-state problem. We have locally elected library board members. You look around Boundary County, Bonner County, you know, whether it's the Priest River Library, Sandpoint, Bonner's Ferry Library, there are great people on those boards, and they are not interested in young people, in our children, getting their hands on inappropriate material. There's a process if someone thinks that there is some material in there, and that process is works. So no, I would not have supported it. The politics around these bills, especially where you see it year after year, the politics is some legislator goes off to a conference during the summer. They get a piece of model legislation from a national organization pushing an issue to solve a problem in some other state. Then that legislator comes back to Idaho, and we spend 2 to 3 years and countless hours for all of the people involved and countless amount of money with the legislature running, trying to solve these problems that don't exist. So that model legislation from out of state to me is extremely frustrating, that we put so much time into those while we actually have other challenges in Idaho that we should be tackling.
Senate Bill 1374 was proposed by your opponent and signed into law. It blocks lessees of public property from banning concealed weapons unless they are renting the property for, quote, a private event by invitation only or for a commercial event that charges admission. What did you think of that bill, 1374?
This is Scott Herndon just not willing to give up. He went to district court, they lost. He went to district court, they lost. He went to the Supreme Court and lost. So he went in and wrote legislation. And then in committee, he testified that this was not about the festival in Sandpoint, and said, we're going to make sure we've written this legislation so it's only to public property that is open. So he got very crafty in how he wrote that legislation so that he could work it through and get it signed into law. And then in a very hypocritical fashion, came back to Sandpoint and put out an email to his followers and said, hey, we got the first step. We'll keep working on this. We'll get it. So his intent is just to be right back there, because as the legislature turns over, people will come and go, and so there'll be a loss of that knowledge of what the issue is about, and then he'll just be tweaking existing code, and he is working to take apart the community and shut down the festival. You put that in contrast where I said, and that's the contrast. When I went to War Memorial Field, I took on a volunteer project and saved the community a significant amount of money so that we could move forward with a great, nice sports complex and a place for people to meet and have community events. And as compared to Herndon going there and costing us literally hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The legislature weighed well over 100 bills this year. Are there any specific bills you want to mention as would have been worth your support or your opposition?
What I would say on that is we typically see between 700 and 900 bills in the legislature, and then usually around 300 are actually passed into law. At least a third of those are budget bills. So think about 700 to 900 bills. My opponent went down there and wrote so many pieces of legislation that if every other legislator wrote as many bills as he does, there would have been 2,500 bills on the docket. Do you want a year-round legislature? Do you want someone going to Boise who forgets who you are? The success of Idaho is based on this part-time legislature, a citizen legislature where people go, represent, and come back and put their work clothes back on, and they're still part of the community and still making a living like a normal person. If we go to this model that they want to head down, and we want to just battle over legislation all year round, we will be paying more, both paying the legislators more and paying more to support the whole process. It's not where we need to go. Montana still does one legislative session year. Mm-hmm. And somehow we're trying to push toward just continuing to be down there more and more.
I don't remember the number of the bill or anything, but there was, the legislature gave itself the power to call itself back into emergency session.
Well, the legislature did, but we did it as citizens. That's the importance of understanding the ballot, because we did that on the November 22 ballot. The citizens of Idaho voted on that. I did not support that.
Yeah.
We had a system in place for 100 years or so where the governor called the legislature in if need be, and that was a little bit of a reactionary change in policy, I think. People have to understand when they get to the ballot, the importance of understanding all these questions.
I'm going to start moving to wrap up here. Those are the specific bills that we want to talk about. So, but more generally, your opponent has said that you have a fundamental difference in philosophy regarding the role of the state. I guess I don't know for sure if you agree with that, but
We do.
Yeah.
He believes the state is there to control the people. So I'll give you an example of the hypocrisy again in that, because he's out there calling me a liberal Democrat, liberal Jim. He's a Democrat. And now let's go back and look at voter registration. I have been, I've been a registered Republican all of my life here in Bonner and Boundary County. When I was gone in the Navy, I still maintained my registration in Boundary County. When I came home from the Navy, I bought a house here. I switched over as a Republican in Bonner County. Scott Herndon moved to Sandpoint somewhere around 2000. It took him 16 years to register to vote. He first registered to vote in 2016, just in preparation so he could run for office. So is he the true Republican who's been here in Idaho preserving our values and what we value, where we want to be as a community? I think not.
What, in your view, is the proper role of state government, would you say?
Well, I am a traditional Republican, and so I look for as small a government as possible, because that provides the lightest tax load. And so that gives us those individual freedoms that we value. The Idaho I grew up in was a live and let live state. You may have differences from your neighbor, but you don't have to go over there and tell your neighbor why they need to be doing something different. We can each live our lives as we desire. That's the beauty of small government. We get to do it our way. Mm-hmm.
I guess as currently governed, then, does the state more or less meet with that philosophy of the proper role of state government?
Well, there's what I want, and then there's what the community wants. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that myself, I would take less out of government than we offer right now. But I know some of the community, I've worked hard to understand and to represent. And that example that I think people know of, that in 2018 I did run and stated publicly that it was not in support of Medicaid expansion, but you can look back and see that when 61% of the people in the community said we would like to have Medicaid expansion, then I supported that. And after it was passed as a citizens initiative, we funded it at the legislature, and I supported that.
We are running out of time, but there's one the big subject, which is abortion. Currently, it's before the U.S. Supreme Court, actually, there's a major case. How do you feel the current Idaho laws should be changed, if at all, regarding abortion and reproductive rights?
So again, to start out with my personal view, I value life. I consider myself pro-life. I don't think we should be using abortion as birth control, but I do believe, and it's evidenced right now, that the law we have in place is causing us problems. We have lost 22% of our OBGYNs in the state of Idaho. You can see it locally. There was more than just the abortion law in the decision at Bonner General Hospital. I do understand that, but it was part of the decision. We do not have any OBGYNs in Bonner or Boundary County now. A simple pregnancy wellness check requires a trip to Newport or Coeur d'Alene or Libby, and that's not fair to the young families in our communities. So we do have a problem we need to fix.
Do you have any particular, proposals? Would you move to make changes at the, or, yeah, I
it,
guess.
It requires clarification in the language to provide that distinction for doctors, for people in the medical community, so that they don't feel like they need to call a lawyer while they're in the emergency room. But I think we also need to take away the criminalization component of our law that says a doctor can be charged with a felony and loss of medical license. Mm-hmm. But it's a conversation that has to happen amongst everyone. So I have been talking with many people, and I'm ready to go and work toward a solution. And that's in comparison to my opponent, who in his first week of his first year in the legislature went right down and introduced a bill that would have removed all existing exceptions for abortion in the state of Idaho. That's rape, incest, and life of mother. He asked to have those removed from Idaho law, or he would like to have those removed from Idaho law, and that's a stark contrast.
Mm-hmm. Last words. What differentiates you as a candidate? Why do you think people should vote for you?
It really comes down to I am here for the community. I'm part of the community, a business owner, father, son, spouse. I'm tied to this community. That's why I'm running for office, because I'm not ready to give up on our values and our vision here in Idaho of what we want to be.
Where can people find out more? Website, social media, et cetera?
Our website is woodwardforsenate.org, and we are on Facebook under the same title.
Okay. Jim Woodward, running for state senate here in Legislative District 1. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.